good to us once again because he has spared us. I don't care how you're feeling this morning. The fact that you're feeling means that God has blessed you one more time.
Amen.
So we ought to be eternally grateful to God for continuing to bless us. The scripture was read for your hearing from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 1, verses number 17 through verse number 23. Our subject this morning is remembering the cross. But let us take a moment as we go to God in prayer. O God, our great Father, which art in heaven, thank you, Lord, for you have blessed us once again. For we went to sleep shrouded last night in mystery, not knowing whether we would get up or not. We were not mysteriously knowing that you are our God, but we were in mystery as to whether we would wake up or not. For this we are eternally grateful because you did wake us up. I thank you for rest, sleep, and comfort on last night. No matter what the world was going through, Father, you brought us through it last night. And thank you, Lord. Thank you for all of those who are here this morning, and we're praying this morning for those who are not here. We're praying that if it be your will, that if they are sick, that they would become better, and that you would help them to be better, O Lord, and return at the next appropriate appointed time. We thank you for our leadership this morning. We thank you for their families, and we thank you for the brethren who have taken part in the services and their families. We thank you, Father, for we know that we have many who are on our sick list, but in particular, Father, some who have asked for prayers of the church. We're praying for Sister Taylor and Sister Welch's family as their mother has taken a fall earlier this week, and we're just asking you, O Heavenly Father, that if it be your will, that you would bless her to heal. We're praying for Brother Beck and his family as he's going through travails right now. And we're praying for Brother Robinson, who has also asked for prayers. And Father, just for anyone who has asked for prayers, if I don't remember your name, please don't fault me. It's just simply an older mind going to work. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that all is well with each and every one of us. And be with these services now, O Lord, as we move on with them, that everything that we do will be found decent and acceptable in thy sight. In the name of your Son, Jesus, the one who went up Calvary's hill, mounted up on the cross, and died that we might live. It is in his name we ask all of these blessings and more. Amen. One of the things that we do each and every Lord's Day is the communion. This is where we are to focus our mind on remembering that which Christ gave of himself. He gave his very life, not because of himself, but because of us. There should be no doubt in our minds come each and every Sunday morning where we need to be and why we need to be here. And who are we to be here to serve? In the text of today, the Bible mentions two kinds of people. Look at verse number 18 in our text of 1 Corinthians chapter 17, and look at verse number 18. Chapter 1 and verse number 17, but I want you to look at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So I ask the question this morning, which one of those categories do you fall in? Do you believe that it's foolishness that we preach the cross? Or are you one of those who are saved and realize that it is the power of God? Let us take a moment and remember which side we want to be on. When we come to the Lord's table, as we shall do a little bit later, our mind should return to the cross and remain there. Never mind what's going on around you. Never mind what's going on behind you or in front of you, but stay focused on the cross. For the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians here, that we should remember the cross. We should remember. Look at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. What did he just say? He simply said, not the words that man can come up with, but the truth that's in God's word, in other words. Otherwise, the Bible, the cross becomes of no power or no effect at all. So let us remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. We know that there is no other like Jesus, no other Son of God. The Scriptures attest to God the Father believing, having His only begotten Son sent to this world in John 3 in chapter 3 and verse 16. The Father also spoke of Jesus in Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 17, where He said, in a voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. We know that Jesus is the Son of God, but is He really above all others? I'll give you the simple answer. Yes, He is, and that is why we are to remember Him and His cross. In Philippians chapter 2 and in verses of 9 through 11, the verse number 9 sets the tone. It says, wherefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name above all, which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. But then in verse number 11, it says, very important to us, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Remember, we need to acknowledge Jesus. And how can you acknowledge Jesus unless you know Jesus? You've got to come to know Jesus in order to acknowledge Jesus. We need to remember Jesus and His humbleness, because He humbled Himself. God highly exalted Him. In our remembrance of the cross, we are to remember that the love of both the Father and the Son. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 40, Jesus, He that receiveth me receiveth him who also sent me. He that receiveth me, or he that receiveth you, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When someone accepts or put on Christ Jesus, we are also accepting the will of God. And I want to just give you, just bring something home to you, and I'm going to use us today for instance. Remember Jesus as a friend. As long as we follow Him, He will be our friend, according to John chapter 15 and verse number 14. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. That's outstanding to know, because friends tend to let us down when we need them the most. Just when you thought friends would be there with you, they go in the other direction. But Jesus will not leave us. It is us who leaves Him. Remember how friends deserted Jesus when He was arrested and they ran away. Remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 16. No man stood with me, but all forsook me. If you want to find out who your friends really are, just have a crisis in your life. Then all of those who you thought were your friends will soon desert you. There's nothing like a separation point if you want to know who your friends are, by except that you get an emergency in your life. When you get an emergency in your life, you'll find out those that stay really were your friend, but those that leave were never your friend to begin with. But Jesus is a friend, and He'll be, if my suggestion to you is to remember Jesus. If you obey Him, He will be a friend for you from now on. While others are leaving, Jesus will be a friend to you. Remember the suffering of Jesus. Remember how that Jesus was nailed to His cross, a cross that took His life, but gave us the opportunity for everlasting life. Do you remember, church, how that they marched Him up Calvary's Hill? They put Him on the cross and they nailed Him to the cross. How that Jesus died on our behalf. How that Jesus, that the Jesus that we preach about, the blood of Christ, because there is no other safety net other than Jesus. Jesus did not bring us a band-aid. Instead, He brought us salvation to heal our sins. Paul, in the text of verse number 17, I want you to notice what he says there. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And then he says in verse number 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So I ask you this morning, church, do you believe or do you remember Jesus Christ? He came, Paul said, I came not to preach any feel-good words, nor any big words of none understanding, but instead, he said, He came to preach the cross. Otherwise, the cross would be of none effect. One thing I've learned, church, and that is this. that the truth never needs to be redressed. Only a lie needs to be redressed over and over again. If you look at a lie, by the time I get it and between the time you get it and I get it, we've redressed it over and over again. If it went through 20 hands or 20 minds, it's been redressed 20 different times. So the truth never needs redressing. True religion is preached in its original form, and the original form of true religion is the true gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The suffering of us, to us that believe, is something worth hearing over and over and over again. He suffered because we could not and we would not have been able to take care of our own sin. We would not have been able to bear what He bore for us. Go with me, if you will, over to the book of Isaiah and see the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 53. Look at verses number 4 through verses number 6, if you will. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yes, we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But listen to this, church. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of all of us. In other words, all of us were wrong and we had gone astray, and Jesus came to save us. So why should you not remember the cross? You ought to remember the cross. You know, when you remember the cross, you'll remember the Lord. And when you remember the Lord, you should also remember the cross. This is one of the reasons why when the communion takes place, or when the communion is taking place, we ought to be very quiet and very humble. We ought to turn our iPads, our iPhones, and all of our smartphones off. As a matter of fact, if our phones were smart enough, they would lock themselves in the off position till after we leave church. But I guess they're not that smart. It would lock itself until church is over. What would it be like if I stood up here in the middle of a sermon or a message and my phone went off? And I said, wait a minute, church, I got to get that. Y'all would think I'm crazy, and you all would send for the men in the white jackets to come get me. You would say something is wrong with the preacher. Something has happened to the preacher. Yet some of you do the very same. I see you sitting there moving and doing all kind of things with your phone. You know, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you a little secret just in case you didn't know it. I'm not calling any name, but I'm just saying this now. A lot can be seen from the pulpit. A lot can be seen from the pulpit. I notice some of you be nodding. But I'm going to blame that on the medication you take. A lot of you be playing with your electronic gadgets. I'm going to blame that on you. I'm going to say you're not remembering the cross. And a lot of you are just looking up in the air. I don't know, what's in the ceiling that's so interesting? It's white tile. You ought to be remembering the cross. You ought to be remembering why we came here in the first place. You ought to be remembering that without Christ, we would not even be so much here. You ought to be remembering that God has been good to us. And you ought to remember most of all that you got up this morning, not because you're so great, not because you were so wonderful last night, but because God awakened you this morning. You ought to remember the cross. You ought to remember the salvation that the cross brought to us. A question is raised in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3. The Bible asks the question, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There are those who either refuse to be believers of Jesus, or those who are already in the safety net of Jesus. In John chapter 3 and 18, it spells it out. For it tells us, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's only one way out of this condemned state that we're living in. There's only one way out of this condemned world that we're living in. And that is by accepting this great salvation, which is found by you coming to the cross of Christ. If you come to the cross, you'll come to Christ. As we come together each and every Lord's Day, we come to serve the God of heaven who presented himself as a substitute for us that we might have salvation. And you know, a lot of people take that word for granted, salvation. It's mine because God is mine because God died for it, but it don't mean that it's yours without you doing anything to get it. God died for it, but we have to do something in order to receive it. What a sacrifice Jesus became. He filled in for us where we couldn't stand in for ourselves. In Titus chapter 2 and the verses number 14, the Bible says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, peculiar people. And I'd be the first to tell you, some folk are peculiar, but not in the way that the Bible speaks of. Some folk are very peculiar. Some folk you don't understand, and some folk are just not peculiar in the right way. In other words, he delivered us from the power of sin. This is what salvation is. So as we come to the Lord's table each and every Sunday, our minds should focus on and remember the cross of Christ. The table of Christ, the communion table is where it all comes together. Where the bread which represents his body according to Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 26. And the cup which represents his blood according to Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 27. These two things put together should cause our minds to go back to the cross. If your mind has ever left the cross, it's time to go back to the cross. It's time to remember the cross. It's time that you remember where you came from. It's time that you remember Jesus on the cross. And when you think about it, church, that was a horrible incident, but it worked out for the joy of us because it gave us the joy of salvation. But it was a horrible incident that took place. Here Jesus was placed on a cross between two criminals. Here they nailed his hand and his feet to the cross. And I don't know all of the medical terms for it, but I'm sure a lot of things must have been going on in his body while they were crucifying him. You know, crucifixion is cruel. It would be banned under the law today as cruel and unusual punishment. It would be banned today because no man or no person should be treated that way. But yet Jesus died for us that he might save us in this very manner. And in other words, he delivered us from the power of sin, which is salvation. So as we come and we take our communion today, we are to remember the Lord and his sacrifice on yonder's cross. It should cause our mind to go back to the cross of which Jesus hung, bled, and died in order to save us. One cannot remember Christ without thinking of the cross. For the cross is what links us to him. The Son of God has been called the lily of the valley, the bright in the morning star, the jewel of heaven. He is our heavenly hope, our life for earth's death. The same Jesus who was crucified shall judge us in the end. The same Jesus of whom many fail to acknowledge now holds our eternity in his hand. Church, have you thought about your death? You may not want to think about it because it's not pleasant to always think about death. But you need to consider the fact that, as I tell you from time to time, I don't see anybody in this audience that's not going to die, including from the pulpit on back to the back door. I don't see anybody in this audience, including the pulpit, from the pulpit to the back door, that's not going to have to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So my question is, why not meet him right now? Why not meet him while you still have the blood flowing through your veins? Why not meet him while you can acknowledge him? Why not meet Him while He is still asking you to come? Why not meet Him, church? Why not that same Jesus of whom that holds our eternity? Well, one day we will meet Him, but how we meet Him is what will matter. Today, I ask you the question, will you allow your minds to go back to the cross? Will you come to Jesus right now? Tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow is not a promised day. All we have is this very moment. For not only is tomorrow not promised, but the next second is not promised to you. And what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I mean you could turn your head and say, I'm going to go meet Jesus. And before you get down to the front, you could fall, trip, fall, and be gone. That's it. Oh, yeah, people die in church too. You don't never know where death is lurking at. But you got to remember what the writer of the text says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 17. He said, let's read down from number 19. It says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? In other words, the world can come up with some stuff that we don't know nothing about and it'll sound crazy, because it is crazy when you compare it to the Word of God. Now, I know we have to live in this world. I understand that. I understand we have to work in this world, and I understand we have to meet people and deal with people on a daily basis. But yet and still, I ask you once again this very same question as I bring this message to a close. This very same question that I bring to you right now, I want you to think about it for a moment. I want you to ask yourself, am I remembering the cross? Am I remembering the cross the way I need to be remembering the cross? Am I remembering Jesus and what He has done for us? Am I remembering when they bring the communion around? Oh, and back to what I was telling you about having a good vantage point from the pulpit. Some of us apparently are not thinking about the cross when the communion is passed. I may as well tell you this. I'm not going to back off of it. Some of you won't even get up and pass the communion tray to the next person down the row from you. Some of you will sit there and wait for the brethren to come reach all over you and pass the communion tray to the next. That's not remembering Christ. You can say, you can use that for an excuse and say, well, preacher, I figure that's their job. No, Christ is all of our jobs. Christ is all of our jobs. When it comes to talking about Christ and putting the Word out there, it's not any more important that I preach the Word than for you to teach the Word to somebody yourself. Sometimes the church folk like to put everything on the preacher and the elders and the deacons. Sometimes the church folks say that's their job and they're the ones who are supposed to do that. But I got news for you. All of us are ministers for the Lord. We just don't do it all from the pulpit. All of us need to make sure that we are in a position to tell somebody something about the Lord. All of us need to be in a position to say that I don't know what the answer to your question is, but I'll get back to you if you allow me to call you back. And then get on the phone and find out the answer to whatever the question was. You know, it's a sad commentary for some Christians when they get stopped on the street or on the job, wherever they may be at, and they can't answer what thus saith the Lord on something very plain and something very simple. Remembering the cross. You see what this says? This do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. When we take the communion, everybody needs to focus. Focus on what's important at the moment. No walking. No talking. No reading. No texting, no tweeting, just focus on the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And somebody may ask the question, well, preacher, if the Lord is so important, how should I prepare to meet Him in my lifetime before it's everlastingly too late? Well, you come to the Lord by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And it wouldn't be bad to be baptized on a day like today. We'll do it. We're ready. The water is ready. The baptizer, Brother Jackson, is ready. We'll get you baptized. All you have to do is come forward. And if you're ashamed to come forward, we'll come and get you. We'll meet you and bring you and walk down the aisle with you. There's nothing wrong if you care about your soul, you won't worry about what the people will think of you because you came down. If you care about your soul and you remember the cross, this is what's important, remembering the cross. Remembering the cross that I might live instead of dying in my everlasting life. If you've already become a member of the Lord's church, but somewhere you've gone astray, you can ask the Lord to forgive you, ask the church to come forward, and ask the church to pray for you, that you may have strength to continue on your journey. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.